Welcome to the Level Up Podcast. I'm your host, Paul Alex. I went from being a cop to an eight-figure entrepreneur that helps average people like you and me make money every single day. I created this podcast to help you get motivated and to crush your goals. Let's win together. Remember, I have your six. Get ready to level up right now. Hey guys, this is Paul Alex. Welcome back to Level Up Podcast. I'm here with a special guest. He goes by the name of JD. He is a former Marine, or actually Marine veteran, excuse me. And now he is one of the top of the line dating coaches in the online space right now. JD, how are you doing today?
Doing well, man. Hey, thanks for having me on the pod.
Dude, welcome to Miami.
Yeah, dude, Miami is the place, man. I've been excited to come back out here. It's been a few months.
Yeah.
And yeah, every single time it's an adventure. So yeah, thanks for having me on, brother.
Dude, I love it. So you're from Los Angeles. Dude, I saw like the past couple weeks during the fires that happened, you were out there in the trenches, dude, helping people out. I mean, like for the viewers that are first like learning about you, dude, that, you know, with that intro, they know you're in the military, they know you're a dating coach, but give us a little bit of background on you, man. And then we'll talk about recent events.
Yeah, definitely. So obviously, like, people who look me up on Instagram, they kind of see like the front blasted images, you know, like I still have my old Marine Corps, like, pictures, my profile. So people kind of get that I'm a veteran, but they see more so like the Playboy player lifestyle. That's all it's posted. I post some controversial shit too. I definitely piss people off.
Yeah.
Especially a lot of women. Yeah, I'm not necessarily a red pill guy, but some of the things that align with that movement, you know, I could agree with.
Of course.
And I'll make some posts about it. So I'm more known as this controversial person in the dating space.
Yeah.
But yeah, my real roots come from the Marine Corps. I was a force reconnaissance Marine. That's one of the special operations components of the Marine Corps. Yep. So doing all like the cool high speed, like what you see in the Navy SEAL movies.
Yep.
Swimming in the ocean at night, storming the beaches with the stars and the moon out, jumping out of airplanes. I did all of that shit for nearly 10 years. And then, you know, I went through some hard times as a pretty rough transition, but then I became an entrepreneur and eventually got into social media.
Dude, that's awesome. Like the transition from like military to entrepreneurship, you know, I had a couple guests that were also Marine veterans. One of my COOs, he's actually starting his new company. It's called Crypto for Beginners, but he was also in the same position as you were.
Interesting.
Yeah. Like dude was straight ops, and which makes sense because he fits right in to like business. You know, you take the mentality of planning and being ready and being a leader, you know, same thing with law enforcement. So I always get along with anybody that does either first responder, been in the military, dude. I just know that you're able to lead, and that's what you need in business. So from the military, what basically pushed you to entrepreneurship, dude? Because typically, let's keep it real. You're in the military for 10 years. And you live a lifestyle that is almost like a monk that most people don't want to live. And then they go out of the military and then they go into law enforcement usually.
Yeah. Well, most of the time, military guys transition to law enforcement or some type of first responder. You have similar lifestyles. But for me, like, I couldn't do that. Mm. And I'll explain why. So my last 3 years in the service, I was just promoted to staff sergeant. That's E6. And at the time of my promotion, I was the youngest staff NCO to be promoted in the entire 1st Marine Division. I don't know about the whole Marine Corps, but at least the 1st Marine Division. So significant achievement. I immediately got bumped up. Like as soon as I got pinned on staff sergeant, they bumped me up to an E7 billet. So I was actually the company gunnery sergeant for headquarters at 1st Recon Battalion for a while, basically running like manpower, training, ops, all that. I was recovering from a gnarly surgery I had. You can see that scar right there.
Yeah.
So as far as like getting out into the field, couldn't quite do that yet, mm-hmm. but from a management operations position, I was doing all of that. But I talk about this on my page. I ran into a really interesting situation where my wife at the time, she decided she wanted to divorce and leave me. But she also wanted to take some revenge while she was at it because I had cheated on her.
Oh, wow.
A bunch.
Yeah.
She is pissed. I mean, rightfully so, but her response to that, definitely uncalled for. essentially, that resulted in a nearly three-year-long federal investigation from her making multiple false allegations against me.
Yeah.
And again, you're in this specialized position in the Marine Corps at a top secret security clearance. So you're under a lot more scrutiny than the regular citizen.
Absolutely.
And coming from a law enforcement background yourself, you could probably understand when you're in that type of position and you're, what would you call it? Your in-house investigation services.
AI, like internal investigations.
Yeah, like internal investigations. So that'd be like similar to NCIS, CID, right? Mm-hmm. So they're the feds. I mean, equivalent credentials to an FBI agent. But as far as training and knowledge, these guys are buffoons. And they love to take a lead and just absolutely roll with it. And, you know, hopefully some of these CID, NCIS guys are watching. I just want you guys to know you're fat and retarded that now that all this is clear and done. So fuck you guys. But my ex-wife calls them up, just lists accusation after accusation. Anything that she could possibly think of. I'm pretty sure she looked up like top 10 felony charges for the military. It's like, and then next thing you know, I'm being investigated for all of this. So I get dragged into the CID office in the middle of the night. Like I just came from the gym. I'm drenched in sweat. Got my booty shorts on and my sweatshirt just completely soaked. And they're interrogating me. Like, I was being investigated everything from larceny, drug trafficking, human trafficking. She accused me of R-wording her throughout our marriage. It's in the investigation report. So it is a multitude of things. And they're like interrogating me for hours. I got detained without charges being pressed against me for 3 days straight.
Wow.
In a dungeon, like no blankets, like stained, dirty mattress, no access to hygiene.
And these are the feds?
These are the feds.
That's crazy, bro.
Yeah, without charges ever being filed.
Yeah.
And in the civil side, so like civil court, she actually filed for a temporary restraining order, which the judge granted.
Wow.
The judge granted a temporary for an entire year. And for anyone watching who doesn't quite know how the civil or family court system works, getting a temporary restraining order is super easy to get. Most of the time, all you got to do is file. And you don't get a chance to go into court, and a judge will grant a temporary until your hearing.
Oh, wow.
So she got a temporary for over a year. And with that, allowed her to basically completely drain my bank accounts, max out the credit cards. I was removed from the home. A cop showed up. Like, I didn't even get a chance to pack anything. They told me, like, hey, you got 5 minutes, throw some shit together in a backpack. And I grabbed my dog and I left. So I was living homeless.
Yeah.
As an active duty Marine, staff sergeant, making good money. I had side businesses going on at the time too. But all of that disappeared practically overnight.
Wow.
Along with the investigation. So living homeless on base, I was moving around from my truck to eventually an RV that I grabbed, living in parking lots. And I started building my side businesses.
Wow.
So first thing that got me out of the gutter was an OnlyFans agency.
What?
And then eventually a private security contracting firm. Completely opposite, but.
So I have so many questions on this, man. So, okay, you just went through this gnarly situation with your ex-wife. Dude, it got you. And I mean, thank God you took the most important asset in the relationship, which was the dog.
Yes, my dog is great. He's a golden doodle, and he's got a whole personality. Him and I snuggled through that winter.
Hey, dude, that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about. You know, man's best friend. But when it comes down to it, dude, what were you thinking the entire time? Like, you were going through this situation where you, like, at any time, did you feel bad for yourself? Like, did you have that like mindset that most people will have and just crumble and be like, damn, what the fuck am I gonna do? Like, or did you, you know, still have that military mentality of like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm gonna go ahead and figure this shit out.
So I actually did crumble. Now,
this is good.
Yeah, no, I crumbled completely. I had the lowest point in my entire life eventually. It was brutal. So like one day, you know, I'm having a stellar career. Like the future looks bright, making a bunch of money. Side businesses are doing good. You know, I got family, two kids. Obviously the relationship wasn't good, but everything else was great. I was about to do a deployment to Japan. We're going to be working some like strategic operations with a joint special operations task force in like the South China Sea. Is going to be some badass stuff. Looking forward to it. The next thing you know, everything stripped away, including my honor, my dignity. Yeah. Friends didn't want to talk to me because when you're at that position in the military, it's now more political. So none of my peers, none of my mentors wanted to have anything to do with me.
Yeah.
I was completely alone. And it got to the point where I almost offed myself.
Yeah.
I was this close.
Yeah.
But by some miracle, God reached down and he presented something in my life. I'm not going to get into it right now.
Yeah, of course.
For time's sake, but he presented something to me and that gave me like an epiphany.
Yeah.
And from that moment forward, from being this close from pulling the trigger to nothing can fucking stop me. And I never looked back ever since. I just kept pushing forward and was thankful every single day for the struggles that I had to go through.
Yeah.
And now I'm here and I'm so far away from where I want to be. You know, I have some very high aspirations, but I mean, from right now compared to back then, that is eons.
And when was progress. When did all this occur? Like around what time? Like around what year?
Let's see, this was like beginning of 2022.
Okay, so beginning.
Or sorry, 2021. Yes.
So around 2021, like literally as we're getting out of COVID, essentially.
Getting out of COVID.
Yeah, yes, we're getting out of COVID. A lot of places are probably locked down still. A lot of people got dogs during that time, I remember, because that's when I moved to San Diego. But dude, that's very inspiring. And the reason why I say that, JD, is because, you know, I've talked to hundreds of thousands of entrepreneurs that want to start a business. But the number one thing that I see the roadblock with entrepreneurs is personal. It's personal. It's not the money, dude, because we can all find money. If I was to give you a Ferrari and be like, hey, JD, give me $100,000 for this $500,000 Ferrari. Dude, I'm pretty sure you'll find the money.
It's a good deal, yeah.
You'll find the money, right? And that's what I tell everybody. It's just like, if you truly want to start something or you truly value something, you'll make time for it. You'll come up with the resources, you know? But for majority of people that want to start business, they want to be an entrepreneur, they have to fix their mindset. So absolutely. I think that was your breaking point. And, you know, I don't have a similar story like that. Mine was a little bit different, but I love it. I love it. So let's go ahead and jump into this interesting part of the conversation. OnlyFans. Okay. Very, very interesting. You know, I didn't know that, you know, anyone can run an OnlyFans agency. And I'm talking about someone going ahead, managing the models, managing, you know, the marketing and all that jazz. How did you get into that? Like, did you have a friend that told you about that? Or did you do research? Like, how?
Okay, so fortunately for me, I've always been a ladies' man. Yeah. Like, you know, I had some side girls when I was still married. And mm-hmm. It's super, especially when I was homeless and I had, like, nothing to do but to be on my phone and think. Like, I was hitting up girls. Yeah. You know, I was still getting laid while being homeless. Like, you don't know how many girls I banged in the parking lot, dude.
You were legit living the bang bus life, bro.
Yeah. I had like bullshit excuses too why I was there. I'm like, I'm like temporarily here on orders and, you know, I haven't figured out a place to stay. And girls were like, okay, yeah, I mean, parking lot sounds fun. Like, so I had girls. That's like the most important step is to have girls. Yeah. Now, it's better to like get an LLC and, you know, set up all like the back end business side if you're trying to do OnlyFans management. But just to make money, all you need is girls. So that's what I had. Mm. And I watched actually the Fresh and Fit podcast. I think Andrew Tate came on there and he was talking about his webcam company, how he did it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh shit. I'm in a
epiphany. You were just like, oh.
I'm like, I'm in a similar situation. Now, do I want to do webcam? No, but I'm familiar with like OnlyFans platform. Like a lot of girls that I knew back then were already on OnlyFans.
Yeah.
So some of the girls that I was seeing at the time, I convinced them to let me manage them.
Wow.
And I only needed a couple $100 to start an LLC after a couple weeks and, you know, registered that with the platform and set up the banking. And from there, the back end stuff is done. So now I just have these girls that I'm already banging.
Yeah.
Doing OnlyFans.
So you're doing OnlyFans and then you're basically negotiating a portion of their profit, which they give to you to manage what? Like, what are you doing? Are you running the logistics? Are you like almost like a COO, like running operations? What's your portion on all
this? It's a very small scale. We're talking like handful of girls. I think at the most I had like a dozen.
Yeah.
So it's much easier than having a large agency where a large agency is a very like fully functioning business.
Yeah.
And you need different department heads to manage different things. Well, starting out small, especially, I got to manage all the chats.
Yeah.
So that was super easy for me. I know exactly what guys like to hear. And then I create a content and posting schedule for them. So just schedule all their posts. It'd take me like a day basically to schedule the posts. And then the rest of the week was dedicated to creating content for the following week to post. And then managing the chats and just letting the money flow in.
Dude, that's amazing.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
I'm out of the business now. I've been out of it for a while because I definitely don't like the OF industry.
Yeah.
I think it's bad all around.
Yeah.
But hey, sometimes you got to do what you got to do. And that's what I did back then.
I mean, you were in a very, basically, I would call you were a weird vacation, bro.
Yeah.
Like, essentially, right? And you had to do what you had to do in order to make money and survive. So from running your OnlyFans agency with a dozen girls to transitioning now into other niches and industries, what was the next move for you?
So the next move was actually a private security brokering firm. Mm. So basically, I had some friends. One of them was a LAPD detective.
Oh, nice.
So he's very familiar with like law enforcement, security, and all of that. Mm-hmm. Obviously, with my background, like, you know, I knew how to essentially run operations. Mm-hmm. And then our other friend, Chad, I don't know what happened to him. He'd like fell off the face of the earth. But he's like the ultimate salesman.
Mm.
He's very narcissistic, he was like diagnosed with bipolar, but he was like autistically smart.
Yeah.
So he did sales. And it started off with a Home Depot contract. Mm. Now, I didn't do the back end side because I was just operations strictly. So Chad and Zara, they ended up getting a deal from Home Depot. And the way brokering works for the audience who may not know, basically you get a contract and it's subcontracted out and you basically try to bid on the contract and then you sub hire the work to fulfill. So you got to calculate the difference. So like Home Depot is offering, I think like $300 an hour for one security guard in one of their Northern California locations. And they bid it to another company that bid it to another company that bid it to another company. Eventually it got down to us. So we got it at like $55 an hour.
Yeah.
And then we subcontracted it out for $35 an hour. So that was our first deal.
Yeah.
In the private security business.
And that's then amazing.
Eventually we built that up. We had more contracts. Eventually I went over to Las Vegas and I was still like, you know, I was out of the gutter, but I didn't have much money at the time. So Zara, he was kind of like the head of the whole operation. You know, he paid for me to go down to Vegas because we got this security contract for a construction site.
Mm.
Drove out there, met everybody, closed the deal, set it all up, drove back. And then from there, it was just like one after the other. And eventually it all tanked.
Yeah.
But I moved on to better things from there.
So from doing that, which is very interesting, man, because that just shows you how resilient and how much thought you can go ahead and just create a business like that. Like, I never thought that you could broker, you know, a security job from another company and then broker that.
Anything.
That's amazing.
Like, just from my connections alone, like, I've made a, what do you call it? Like a finder's fee?
Yeah.
Yeah. So yep. I met someone who needed to fulfill Ralph's locations mm-hmm. with blueberries. And I knew a guy, he's actually based in Miami, who was able to get blueberries. So I just made the introduction and I got a finder's fee for making the deal happen. See, money opportunities are absolutely everywhere. And I've just always had this knack for being able to spot opportunity and somehow financially profit from it.
Yeah. No, that's awesome, man. I love that. I love that. So the big question is, how did you transition from doing those two industries to now go going into the dating coach realm? I know you said you've been working on it, but haven't really been putting it out there yet. And now you're going full force. So how exactly did you get into that niche?
Yeah, so that definitely stemmed from the OF management, because working with girls, right? Now, it was a long process to get into the coaching aspect of it all. Basically, my bread and butter right now is running an atmosphere modeling agency. So atmosphere modeling, for those watching who may not know, I know it's huge in Miami. So like New York, Miami, LA area, biggest industries for atmosphere modeling. It's essentially hot chicks getting paid to show up to parties or private events, whatever. Like it's not like a low-key prostitution thing. It's like they show up to hang out and look hot.
Yeah.
It's atmosphere modeling. And there's a lot of money in it. And then I also have a matchmaking agency too, setting up paid platonic dates with sugar daddies.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So a very similar niche to OnlyFans, right? And eventually I started occurring very wealthy clients. Mm-hmm. And being in that industry, I'm already in this position where I'm bringing hot chicks to the table to the wealthy clients mm-hmm. who want them. Now, initially it's like, you know, we want hot girls to show up at our private yacht party. Okay, I can make that happen. Okay, what numbers are we looking at? Figured out. All right, boom. Send me some cash. Here's the girls. And getting to know the clients and talking to them, they need help with talking to women themselves. They need help with trying to get a girlfriend. Some of them want to be married.
Yeah.
And it's just having conversation. And eventually I ran into this guy. He's like morbidly obese.
Yeah.
Very nice dude. His name's Tony. Mm-hmm. And he's like a New York guy. Yeah. Very thick Italian accent. Lives down in San Diego. Has a bunch of properties. Beautiful mansion down there. And he's just picking my brain at a networking event. And wow. He asked me, like, you know, because I was telling him, like, yeah, I help guys like get girls and stuff too. He's like, how much do you charge? Mm-hmm. And I just threw a number out. I'm like, I don't know. I've never thought about this.
Yeah.
I said $10,000. And he's like, all right, let's talk.
Yeah.
So then I closed on a $10,000 deal to help this guy become the type of dude who could get girls. He ended up losing a lot of weight.
Yeah.
Helped him just learn how to have conversation, how to like structure a dating profile. And he's still single, but he ended up getting some girls rolling through. So it really worked out for him.
No, oh, that's phenomenal, man. Yeah. I mean, you know, if people need a trainer for fitness, why wouldn't they need a trainer for dating or to level themselves up, right? Like their image, their appearance. Yeah. And sometimes they need that person that has that level of experience, just like you, to go ahead and tell them like, hey, dude, you got to drop some weight. You got to go ahead and fix the way you look, right? And man, what's interesting, man, is I think making the move down here in Miami from LA is going to be the perfect opportunity for you, especially because there's so much people out here that are looking for those specific things. The other thing is, when I was around 18, dude, I'm 37 right now, but when I was 18, I was actually a nightclub promoter for 6 years.
Yeah, I remember you telling me about that.
Yeah, man. So,
yeah.
So I remember like back in my promoting days, you know, as a promoter, obviously we would pack the parties, 1,000 people on a Saturday night, right? And one of our, I guess, strategies was, hey, let like the first 100 girls in for free, mm-hmm. right? And then promote it on the flyers and all that. And it worked. It worked like a gem, dude. But that would drive all the men to come into, right? Because they see like a line full of girls trying to get in there before 10 p.m.
Yeah.
It's just like, dude, that concept. Now you're making money off of promoting and making these restaurants and these parties at these nightclubs, just filling them with hot girls, and you get paid for that.
Right. See, that's essentially what it was with my atmosphere modeling industry.
Yeah.
It's like private entertainment, right?
Yeah.
So instead of promoting for a nightclub, you promote for the client's yacht party or their mansion party.
Yeah.
And a lot of these clients of mine, they would charge for male tickets, and we're talking crazy prices. Like they'd be charging dudes like $50,000.
I can imagine.
To come in.
Yeah.
But the girls are being paid to show up. So it's like an investment for them. They're
Question, man.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're from LA. Did Dan Bilzerian do this?
Okay. So I've actually, I'm not sure if I can name drop him. I'm not going to name drop him just in case, because I know like anyone who talks to Dan has to sign a bunch of NDAs and stuff like that. But yeah, Dan Bilzerian, he has guys that just, that's their full-time job is cycling in and out the girls. I think he's like changed now, but back in his highlight times of being on Instagram and you see him with...
Dude, it'd be insane. He'd had like 50 girls on a jet with him.
Yeah, alone. He had guys like me that would just facilitate it because he's busy running business. Yeah. You know? He's like, I need girls here. I need to get my dick sucked 5 times a day by different 10 out of 10 models. Yeah. And so he'd have guys like me facilitate it for him.
Wow. Wow, that's crazy, man. I can't even imagine that type of life, man. But okay, great. So what is the big plan by the end of 2025 for you, dude? Like, what are you trying to do? What's the next move? Because I know you have your own podcast, The JD Show, which I always listen to it. I tune in, dude. I look at the clips. It's awesome. But like, if for anybody right now that, let's say they see this episode and they're like, dude, JD, like, I want to get mentored by him, dude. Like, how can they find out more about you? How can they go ahead and actually reach out to you to work with you?
Instagram is the best way. Mm-hmm. We're still working out the many chat auto response feature because I do get a flood of DMs. It's hard to manage.
Yeah.
But reaching out via DM, eventually I'll get back to you or someone on my team will get back to you. And that's how you get in touch with me for coaching services. But yeah, right now I'm closing out my agencies in LA. Yeah. So just trying to finish the paperwork to sell them off. And I'm going to be starting a new agency out here in Miami. I have some ideas. I'm trying to incorporate everything that I do into just one functional unit.
Yep.
So we're still going to be doing atmosphere modeling. So people who want the hot chicks to show up to their private venues, yacht parties, mansion parties, whatever, we'll be able to make that happen. But the social media aspect is going to be extremely important too. With the podcast, The JD Show, that's kind of like a long term for me.
Yeah.
So it does take a while to build a podcast or any media platform, as you already know. So that's like something I'm just going to be doing throughout the week, but promoting what I already do at the same time, especially with dating coaching, helping guys pick up chicks and stuff like that. You know, we talk about it on the podcast, right?
Yeah.
So that's just a way to promote and overall build everything into a funnel, get more clients from whether they need atmosphere modeling, whether they need coaching, also different things too. I've done some fitness coaching. I've helped some personal friends of mine with health, setting up a diet plan and all that. So eventually I'm going to start charging for that shit too.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's going to be awesome. Just everything right here in Miami, one big business, and saying goodbye to California.
No, I love that. I love that. And what's your primary reason for leaving California? I mean, you know, for me, man, it was number one, the politics out there, but then also the state income tax. And, you know, now I'm making the move to Puerto Rico. But for you, is it the same reason, or you're just like different environment, different people? Like, what's your reason to move to Miami?
Yeah, so there is a few reasons. Now, everything you just said, slap that on there for me as well.
Yeah, for sure.
But I have a lot of like trauma out there too.
Gotcha.
Everything that happened with me with the ex-wife, the investigations, like all that's behind me now.
Right.
Name clear and everything. Mm-hmm. But some of the areas, you know, looking around, it's like a lot of negative energy.
Yeah.
And even though I'm in a great position now, I've been stagnant for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like a lot of people are fine just being stagnant, like that comfortable spot. Yeah. But I'm trying to shoot up.
Trying to
like
grow.
When you open your crypto app and you see you got a big green candle, like that's what I'm looking for in life.
Yeah.
And I think changing my environment drastically coming out to Miami is going to be the place for that.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
The fires was like the final nail in the coffin, too.
The fires, man. I mean, I was checking out your post and you were out there helping people, providing water. I know that, you know, the law enforcement, they told you out there you're on your own, basically.
Yeah.
which is awesome and inspiring, man. It's one of the things that I love about, you know, anybody that was in the military, anybody that was in law enforcement, and then just first responders in general. But like, dude, I also heard in the news that there was like a ton of like looters.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah. No, it is an absolute war zone out there. Like the first week, government had zero control. whatsoever. It was just a free-for-all. It was like something out of an apocalyptic movie.
Yeah.
And I have a lot of friends who live in the Palisades area, a lot of wealthy people, clients, and I'm in all these different WhatsApp group chats. So I just came down from a ski trip in Big Bear. Like, you're starting to hear about the fires on the news.
Yeah.
And then that night that it went from 0 to 100, like it was like contained out in the brush. There's a few houses getting hit.
Yeah.
And eventually just neighborhoods were getting wiped out.
Wow.
In moments. Wow. And my WhatsApp chats are blowing up. People are like, can't get a hold of first responders. Like, we're pumping our pool water out right now, trying to keep the fire away from the house. Like, does anyone know anybody who can help?
Yeah.
And I'm like, I'm chilling at the Ritz-Carlton down at Dana Point with my dad. Like, we're having some drinks, a dinner and stuff like that. I'm having a great time. And I'm like, shit, I could help.
Yeah.
And I actually had a nonprofit too, California certified 501c3 Veterans for Humanity. Mm-hmm. And I had to let go of it because we just didn't have enough funding to keep it going. Mm-hmm. But the nonprofit was still active. Mm-hmm. And in a disaster zone, nonprofits that are structured like mine are legally allowed to go help out.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, well, you know, liability wise, I can go out there. I know my capabilities.
Yeah.
So I started hitting up my WhatsApp chats like, hey, who wants to help? Instantaneously, some guys from the Sean Kelly chat, actually.
Yeah.
You're in that one too, right? Yeah. I posted on there like, hey, I'm rallying up a group of volunteers. You know, we're going to need some funding. We're going to need boots on the ground. Instantaneously, people are like, what's your Cash App? Like, I'm like, oh shit, okay, well, I got other people's money now, so this is real.
Yeah.
And I took some of my own as well and went to Home Depot, bought a whole bunch of like PPE, like proper masks, goggles, fire retardant shit. And I also had my own emergency supplies, like I'm sure you do too,
yeah.
Like being law enforcement background. You keep the go bag, right?
You have to, bro, you have to.
Yeah, so I grab that shit, load up my truck, and I meet one buddy. He's from Beverly Hills, mm-hmm. So he met me over like in South Malibu, just outside of the boundary area.
Yeah.
And we had a whole team at this point. We had people facilitating, like bringing in more supplies, and then other people coming in to be on foot too, to help out. So for 48 hours straight, we go out there. Like, no information. We just know it's complete chaos. We know law enforcement, firefighters don't have anything in control. And we're like, Where should we go? What's safe? Nobody knew. We stopped at the command post. We made the introductions. Like, you know, hey, I'm representing Veterans for Humanity. I just formed Task Force Blue, which is what we called it. Just shot that name out of my ass, honestly. but this is what we're here to do. We got all these supplies and we got some addresses for homeowners who are actively defending their houses, putting out fires, who need medical attention, assistance with putting out the fires, like other supplies. Like, they even have masks and they're breathing in all this smoke.
Yeah.
Like families with children and stuff. And the command post, like, no one was in charge because I kept asking who's in charge. They're like, try that trailer. No, try that trailer. Eventually we got into the comms trailer and they're like, yeah, I mean, shit, go ahead. You're fine. You know, go check in with the checkpoint before you head up Sunset Boulevard,
yeah.
Which was power lines down. Like, you saw on the news how all the cars were just abandoned, like piled up in the middle of the street, the sidewalks. So the plows had actually just cleared a path for the fire trucks to move out.
Oh, wow.
So everything was still like smoking and stuff, and power lines were down. They didn't have that under control. Buildings were collapsing. And we stop at the checkpoint, pitch dark, just thick smoke everywhere. It looked like a nuclear bomb just dropped. And talk to the cops, like, hey, we just got cleared by the command post to go up. This is what we're going to be doing. Do you have any information for us? Like, nobody knows.
Yeah.
You're clear to go up, but if you get into any trouble, no one's coming to help.
Wow.
So in my own nice ass pickup truck,
yeah,
thank God I got those Method wheels and the thick tires. We went up there through like the plowed cars, buildings collapsing, like fire still popping up. And eventually we got to the people who needed our help. So we provided all the aid they needed. And we did that for 48 hours straight. Just we got lead after lead, like, okay, next neighborhood. And yeah, there's a lot of looters too. Cartels, like organized gangs down there. It was scary, dude. Like, we saw straight up killers organizing massive heists, like these houses that burnt to the ground. People were like harvesting burnt out safes and stuff like that. I saw these two dudes carrying out a cabinet and trying to load it into their tiny sedan. Like, obviously they weren't from there just based on their looks, like very dressed down. And this is a multi-million dollar neighborhood. So it wasn't their trunk. They're out looting. But yeah, people crying in tears, whole entire families just absolutely devastated, like zero access to anything of value that they had. So like if they're relying on cash or whatever, or if they had a hard wallet in crypto, dude, they lost all of that.
That's horrible, man. Yeah. That's horrible. But good thing you went out there, man. I mean, it shows a lot. It shows what type of person you are, dude. You're still willing to, you know, help the community. And obviously that comes back from your background. And dude, I'm the same way. I'm the same way, dude. If it was to go down here and, you know, we were to have to war here, hey, dude, I'd strap on my MP5 and get ready to go. Right?
You still got that law enforcement badge or the ID, the former one, right?
They, so you have multiple ones when you go into law enforcement. So you can make like the flat badges. Mm-hmm. That is not the main one that you wear your uniform. So I still have my flat badge.
Right, right. Yeah. So that gets you in places.
Yeah. But I haven't thrown on anything in such a long time. I still go to the range from time to time, though. Mm-hmm. You know, I love my guns. But, dude, I'm glad you're moving down here. It's going to be awesome. We definitely got to connect when you're down here. Now, for anyone that is viewing right here, where can they actually see more of your content? Where can they check out your show? And drop all your social media handles, dude, so they can know where to find you.
Yeah, absolutely. So guys, the JD Show Official on Instagram, no underscores, no special characters, just the JD Show Official on Instagram, and the James Devon on Instagram as well. We got the links posted in our bio for everything else that you could possibly check out.
Well, there you guys have it. This is Paul Alex with the Level Up Podcast, JD from military veteran to dating coach entrepreneur. And dude, I know you're gonna kill it here in Miami. Let's get it.
Absolutely, man. Thanks for having me on.
See you guys next one. Thanks for listening up to the Level Up Podcast. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to share with a family, friend, and everyone you know who's ready to level up. Leave a 5-star review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you tune in. It really helps spreading the word. And don't forget to check out officialpaulalex.com for more episodes and resources to kickstart your journey. Let's level up together.